This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities taking a look at the wheat markets for Tuesday, December 29th. Well, we have the wheat markets under some pressure yesterday. In fact, all the wheat and soybeans were under pressure, and corn actually was a bit higher, holding its gains very well on continued concern about dryness in Argentina in particular. Soybeans under pressure as it looked like the Argentine exporters strike, the dock workers strike, is going to be resolved, and so that casts a negative tone a bit to the soy complex. And with wheat, the pressure was kind of hard to explain, as most of the news was a positive slant, but clearly some profit taking going on and expectation. You'll probably see an increase in farmer selling after the first of the year. We are seeing some disruption of wheat flow out of Argentina because of the port workers strike. There is some talk that Brazil is shifting demand over to the United States because they're concerned about not being able to have a consistent supply from Argentina. We're also seeing, of course, we talked about this yesterday, but Sovicon projecting that Russian wheat exports would be down about 4.5 million tons from their original estimate. They're taking it down to 36.3 million tons total for the year. USDA earlier this month pegged Russian exports at 40 million tons. And this is all due to the $30 a ton tax that Russia is imposing on wheat exports starting February 15th. Now, even though it starts Feb 15, exporters have largely shut off any FOB offers that do not include the $30 a ton tax. By the time they would originate the wheat and get it loaded, they would be right up against that mid-February time window. And the Russian government has been slow walking export certifications ever since they announced this. So even though the tax doesn't start until Feb 15, the slowness of getting the export certs and getting ships out of the ports pushes them back into that time window. They don't want to take a chance of being caught with a sudden $30 ton additional cost. So Russian FOB offers have jumped, pretty much taking into account that $30 a ton. That is pulling world values higher as well. Europe would normally be the biggest beneficiary of this of the Russian tax, but they don't have a large amount to export either. Their prices have been consistently higher than Russian prices, or the Black Sea for that matter, ever since summer, or in particular harvest. So they've not offered a lot of competition to the Black Sea, and it doesn't look like they will, even with the higher FOB offers coming there. So this pushes a lot of business over to the United States. It's going to be a little bit slow to get started, I think, as Australia will fill in some of those gaps, but they'll quickly be toward the tail end of their export program. And Argentina, with their drop in yields late in the season and now some delays getting ships out, is still going to be pushing more demand over to the U.S. Aside from that, we're still looking at weather conditions that are pretty tough in the southern region of Russia and the southern plains of the United States. We're looking at dry conditions that have been there really since planting, and crop conditions not all that great. We haven't had a lot of extreme weather on those regions, luckily, but still, with La Nina being as strong as it is, and meteorologists suggesting it's going to last into early spring, it does set the stage for some dynamic, upward, I think, price momentum as we get into the spring. We see the crops break dormancy, and we'll see what kind of weather we get. And speaking of crops, early indicators from the data from FSA are suggesting that winter wheat plantings will be higher this year than last year. It's not a big surprise for soft red, which is expected to kind of lead the way. The economics of soft red winter wheat and soybeans have been there for several months, and it was expected that farmers would respond to that. So we do see an increase in soft red acres quite a bit more than last year. We also see an increase in hard red acres, but not as much as the soft red. So it's hard red acres, though, that are in the worst shape. And that's where I think the market really will start to focus as we get into mid-February, and certainly as we're breaking dormancy in the Central Plains in mid-March. The the condition of the crops, the higher prices that I would presume corn and soybeans are going to still be elevated is a big draw to pull those acres out and going to something else. Even sorghum would be a better crop than a partial wheat crop. So I think the Kansas City market is going to be very strong heading into the spring to protect those planted acres already and to offset the losses in yields that we'll likely get because of the poor planting conditions. And a similar story with what we'll see in southern Russia in particular, but it also could stretch into eastern Ukraine. That whole region was pretty dry as they planted wheat. They got it in late, hoping to get some rain, which really didn't come, so they dusted it in. Now, Russia planted a record amount of winter wheat, but it's very dry in the key southern region, which is where most of the exportable supplies originate. So there's a lot of reason to think that wheat will hold value and probably move higher into the springtime as we're breaking dormancy, because we certainly have the setup for a weather market in wheat, and we've already got a strong demand-driven bull market in wheat, and as we do in corn and soybeans. We have weather problems in South America. Brazil and Argentina both are looking at some very dry conditions, and it's getting hot on them as La Nina continues to wreak havoc across pretty much all of the major growing areas of South America. That's underpinning corn and beans, and it certainly will underpin wheat too. And I think over these next 4 weeks in particular will be the real critical time period of if the drought's going to have more of an impact in corn and beans in South America, or if you're just going to get some crop-saving rains. So that time window is, I think we need to be cautious about presuming KC can gain against Chicago, because if corn and beans take off, I really think Chicago wheat will be the next in line, and it will move higher against Kansas City and widen those spreads back out. It certainly sets up for some great opportunities, as I think KC will gain on Chicago as we head into the spring and summer. But we really want to be careful about getting caught on the wrong side of that spread if we get a weather market that intensifies through January in Argentina and Brazil. If we don't get that, and if the markets drop, like we saw yesterday, soybeans were under some pressure, as was wheat, but Chicago and Kansas City kind of kept lockstep. It wasn't like Chicago lost more than Kansas City. So I think we're fairly safe biding our time before we reposition those spreads. But we just want to get past that time window of a weather market for corn and beans before we refocus on wheat and expecting that KC will gain against Chicago and really should recapture its premium against Chicago, as it's been discount for a couple of years now. That, I think, will change, and I think will happen by July of this year. If you have any questions, you can call me at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.